Good morning. I don't know how many of you tried to get to the funeral of Rabbi Avadya Yosef yesterday. My wife and I, we tried. We didn't get anywhere near. The city has never, ever been what it was last night. It was, I imagine, historic. They used to say that the LIE, the Long Island Expressway, during rush hour was like one big parking lot. The Begin was a parking lot. The whole Begin was a parking lot. There was only one lane each way, otherwise trucks, buses, cars. By the way, it was all over. It took us just to get home. We ended up by our daughter and Ramo just to get home. It was unbelievable. What I did, it took about an hour and a half or more till we finally got home. I don't know if they say 800,000. It looked to me like the whole world was there last night. Listen, he deserved the great honor that he received at his funeral. But Rabbi Yosef was a phenomenal man. An awesome movement, and we were neighbors. We didn't always see eye to eye, but all right, all right, okay. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more later, but I want to talk about Parashat Lech Lecha. Anyway, the Hayikah, Shehet Tehei Nishmato Tzura, Betzura Rachayim, Chayim Ovadye Ben Georgia, Zeche Tzadik Rekodesh Merach. Certainly a loss, great loss, one of the giants, real giants of our generation. Giants of our generation. All right. I want to tell you, for the last week, I think I must have been walking around nonstop, just thinking about the first pasuk of this week's Seder. Vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetcha u'mibeit avicha el ha'oretz asher ar'ekha. I must have said it over to myself 1,000 times. Because there are moments at which you finally focus on this pasuk and you see that with this pasuk begins the most awesome history of a great people. And we're alive and kicking 4,000 years later. Not only alive and kicking, we're a major force in the world. If, and I don't believe he will, but if President Obama is going to succeed in any kind of negotiations with Iran, and they will not have fooled him, it will only be because of one reason. Because there's somebody carrying a big stick behind Obama. It's not his words, but the Iranians know that there's somebody that's ready to go in there and do the job of destroying it. Obama can talk sweet, but he carrieth the big stick. And there's a world out there, even our enemies, who are rooting for us to do the job. God Almighty. 4,000 years ago, one man begins the greatest journey in all of history. And the journey continues, or maybe in a certain sense, we'll see toward the end of this year, that the journey has come to its most important juncture in all of 4,000 years. So just so you know, there are so many things. We read the parasha, you go over it time and time again, and there's so many things we just don't take notice of. Today's shiur is to start taking notice. Could Avram have imagined when the word of God came to him that 4,000 years later his little people will be a major player in the world? That he would have a people? He was 75 years old and didn't have children. And he begins this great journey. And God said to Avram, Lech lecha, me'artzecha, u'mimoladetcha, u'mibet avicha, el ha'aretz asher areka. So I have a number of them before from here that really deal with precisely the same thing. We just want to analyze this pasuk. There's something seriously wrong with the pasuk. Seriously wrong. God said to Avram, go unto you from your land, your birthplace, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. The most serious thing of the many that seem to be wrong with the pasuk. There's nothing wrong with the pasuk. The pasuk is perfect. Except that if you say, Lech lecha me'artzecha, leave your land, that already includes your birthplace and your father's house. You know what the order of the pasuk should have been? When a person leaves a place, what door does he walk out from first? He walks out of his father's house. And when he finally comes to the edge of the city and he leaves the city limits, he has now moved out of the city. When he comes to the border, he has left his birthplace. And the pasuk says, Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetcha u'mibet avicha, precisely the opposite from the way things always work. Pink faket. So a number of the mafashim deal with it, and I put three of them here. I don't know whether we'll have to go through all three, but let's start with number three, the Ketav HaKabbalah. Me'artzecha, me'ladetcha, mi'beit avicha, on the left-hand side of the page. Kol halicha, tnua, v'hitrachakut, v'mashe mimenu, l'mashe elav. Any going or movement is distancing oneself from where he is to that which he is going to. Bein tnua gashmit, regardless of whether it's a physical movement, mimokam shabo, from the place where he is, lemakam she'elav, to the one that is beyond him. Kmo lalechet arzo Kanaan, for example, going to the land of Kanaan. Bein tnua ruchanit, but there's another kind of movement as well. When a person moves socially, emotionally, spiritually, religiously, he is also moving. He is disengaging from that which he was part of. So therefore, bein tnuach ruchanit, spiritual disengagement, that means hahitrachashut me hitrachakut. Itrachakut, machshavi, removing one's thoughts, may esek ashebo, from that which he is involved in now, el hitaskut v'iyun machshavi el mashu v'fanav, in order to get involved in a different form of thought that is before him, o shalomalo, something that's even higher, ke'inyan, as it says. This is a pasuk in Zechariah. God says to the Novi Zechariah, "V'natati lecha mehalchim bein ha'ondim." I'm going to have you move amongst those who are stationary. Now, there it's talking about Zechariah found himself amongst angels, and the angels are considered ondim. They're stationary, stationary in the sense that spiritually or intellectually, they can never change. Whatever they were at the time that they were created by God, that's what they remain. The only one who can move, who can grow, is man. Man is called a mahalach, one who goes. And what's very fascinating over here, a few psukim later, we're going to come to Vayelech Avram. Avram went. And when Avram went, oh boy, what a movement began. The world had no idea, and he He knows how he didn't have any idea either what he was accomplishing by his movement. So the Ksara Kabbalah goes on further, Va'ofanehit rachakut ha'ela hafuchim heima binyaneim. So he says, moving geographically is one kind of movement. Moving spiritually is a second kind of movement. And they are each precisely the opposite of the other. Geographic movement, I walk out of my father's house, I come to the end of the city and I walk out of the city, I come to the end of the country and I move the country. Move out of the country. Geographically, and if that's all that the pasuk would have meant, then God should have said to Avram, Lech Lecha, mi beit avicha, from your father's house, mi beit avicha, mi molaretcha, the city of your birth, and third, mi artzcha, if we are talking about geographical movement. How about we're not talking about geographical movement? God is telling Avram, I want you to undertake a journey where you are going to spiritually distance, disconnect, disengage from the society in which you live, from the community in which you live, and even from your father's home. And when you're talking about spiritual, intellectual, and other distancing, then the first that's going to go is the country. It'll take a bit more until the community is uprooted from one's consciousness. And the last and most difficult one is going to be leaving everything that one imbibed in the house of one's father. So therefore, this first communication of God to Avram is to remove, distance, disconnect, disengage. I don't like the word disengage, but it's a good word to use. Disengage from everything that you experienced, believed in, everything that made up a human being is made up by his environment, by his family, by his community, by his country, you understand? An American is an American. And an Israeli is an Israeli. And a Hungarian is a Hungarian. And a German is a German. You know how long it takes for a limb to become ice Americans and a shtickle Israeli? It takes a lifetime. Two lifetimes. So the Ksava Kabbalah goes further and he says, Ki hit rachakut, moving geographically from my place always begins from where he is to where he's going to. Al derech moshel, da derech, on the road, yitrachet tchilame en shei beito. The first ones that he's going to leave geographically are the people of his home. Shahayamit Goreri Mahim, with whom he lived, Babayet, to Bechedr Echad, in a house and one room. Vitzit Kadel Harchaka, and the distancing will become even greater. Ma'at Ma'at, little by little, Li Pare Gami Anshe Beito, to separate from the people of his home. Hamid Gorinim Be'iro, that live in his city. Akrovim elav, Achel Psof, Yazov, Kol Artsov, Yelech Lo Eretz Acheret, until ultimately he leaves, and he leaves it all behind. Omnam, however, Hayitrachakut Hamachshavit, the intellectual, the process of distancing one's thought is precisely the opposite. Goes from the latter to the first. Min harachokim al akrovim yoteid elav. First he's going to lose, it will take time, but he's going to lose the sense of his country. He's no longer an Irishman or an Englishman or an American, that will go first. And then it'll take a time, it'll take a little while till you get Brooklyn out of your kishkas, you understand? Some people think they carry it with them all their lives. To get Williamsburg out of your neshama. But over there, of course, we don't want to get Brooklyn or Williamsburg out of the Ramshafa. But certainly the father's house. But that's the process he's going to. Until himself, Yazod, until the end, he leaves his whole land. V'yelech lo eretz acheret. So therefore, basically, that's really all that we have to know over here. That the Tzavak Kabbalah is explaining that God's command to Avlam is a command not only to geographically and physically move, leave behind, but also intellectually, in his thought process, in his mind, his feelings, his beliefs, leave all of that behind. And that's where the first thing that will go is the land, the second will be the city of his birth, and the third is going to be his father's house. A similar thought is expressed, it's just interesting to see how different the Farshim express the same thing. Number two, we have the Malbim. We'll go through it critically. The Malbim says, HaSeder HaRoi, the proper order of the Pasuk, HaYonachon Lomar, the correct thing for him would have been to say, Mi Beit Avicha, Mi Moladetcha, Umei Arzacha. That's what the Pasuk should have said. V'loma, then the Malbim Zol says, in V'loma lo gila lo unle elech, yelech, where he should go to? Why doesn't he tell him his destination? V'loma hivticho haftacho se'ele. He's asking another question. God promises, I will make you a great gadol, I will make you a great nation, I will make your name great, you will be a source of blessing. All the families and countries of the world are going to be blessed through you. There's something else that you have to remember. As we learn these psukim that we've learned a thousand times, here also we're dealing with psukim that happened, that were fulfilled. In Lech Lecha, they sound like, the Rashi was telling you, but wait a minute. Is there a religion on this face of this earth that does not in some way connect to Avraham Avinu? None. Avraham Avinu is alive and well today in Christianity, in Islam, and who knows how many other systems of belief. It all happened. Everything that the Pasuk said over here happened. And not only it happened, it's still happening. It's unbelievable. It's still happening. This is another one of those things where you learn this parasha. Somebody's going to tell me that Torah is not min hashamayim. It's not from heaven. Somebody wrote it and made it up. It can't be. This is all divine. And that's why 4,000 years later, every word that is said over here is true. Let's go further. Let's see the perishery of the Malbim. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha me'aretzcha. Amalo, God tells him, shetachlis hayitziyah, hu sheyipared mideotehem mima'aleihem hanishchasos. He just writes it slightly different than the Ksav HaKabbalah. God is telling him, according to the Ksav HaKabbalah, there are two movements. There are two movements that God is commanding our Avraham. A geographic and a spiritual movement and distancing. The Malbim places, that God is the main intent of the Rebbeishom is that Avraham Avinu moves intellectually and spiritually, distances himself from the whole world in which he was raised. Omar lo shetachlis hayitzia, the purpose of his leaving is sheyipared, he should separate mi deoteim, from the opinions, umi ma'aleim, and from the deeds hanishchosos, that are destructive and corrupt. Ki ha'adam yikneh tchunos u'midos, because a man acquires his personality, his feelings, in three ways. Min ha'aretz, one is influenced by the land in which he lives. Me'avira u'mizga u'marechet mazala, from the weather. You know, everything about a country impacts on a human being. My wife was telling me where she met some girls from who came in from Be'er Sheva, and it's so cold over here in Yerushalayim. Not so cold. When it gets nice and cool over here, we love the fresh air. We push it soaking up. I'm a chaya. And he's getting, get me back to Be'er Sheva. You won't, you think I want to be in Be'er Sheva now? But that's the way it is. I've never figured out how people can live in Bnei Brak. You understand? Bnei Brak is hot. Bnei Brak is humid. And I talk to people from Bnei Brak. I'm a chaya Bnei Brak. You know, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. We become influenced by where we live. Or the Gemara in another way calls it chein makom ayosho. Chein makom ayosho. There is there's a chein. How do you translate chein?
Charm.
Charm. I like that word. A place has charm, and the people who live there are charmed by it. Bnei Brak. You think Bnei Brak? I could never live in Borough Park. I don't know. It's too crowded for me. It's too cramped. So they'll take a look at Haranof and they'll say, Meshugim Bista. But that's the way it is. I'm comfortable with the place. It has an impact. It has an influence. So the Malden says there are three things that impact on a person's mind: the land, its air, its temperature. The second, bet min ha'ir she'shochein bo u'makom moladato she'lomed u'miminhagim u'midoteim. People are influenced by the city in which they. I mean, first of all, the way they talk. I mean, it's so simple to tell the difference between somebody who comes from Boston and somebody who comes from Chicago. You can easily tell the difference between somebody who comes from Australia or from South Africa. You can tell it impacts the place, the city. The city has impact on an individual. And Beit Aviv, then of course, that we know, a father's house is that which has great impact. And Tzivah Hashem, God commanded, She'en ha'yitziyah ha'gufiyit tiyakam yitziyah ma'chshavu. Here he's saying, just not nearly the same words as the Ksav HaKabbalah. With the physical movement should also come the intellectual movement. But you know what? You know, it's very, you can't lose sight of one thing. Avram Avinu is on the way to becoming alone. He is distancing himself by divine imperative from everybody and anything and anywhere that he was involved in. He's becoming a loner. He's becoming a loner. The lonely man of faith. Yes.
He started that when he was very young and continued. He was distant. He was there, but he wasn't, you know, with the people.
That's true, except that in Ur Kasdim, he's got a great movement going. In Ur Kasdim, he has thousands of people who are the Talmidim of Rome and Sarah. They had begun a great movement for God. And now God is telling him, chuck it all. But you have to be very careful, as we learn the parasha. You know what you're going to have to say? There are two seemingly contradictory movements that take place in the life of Avram. As he disengages, on the other hand, at the same time, He is engaging with the world. Wherever he goes, he teaches. Wherever he goes, he calls the name of God. Wherever he will come to, he's going to build an altar. And the purpose of these altars were to gather people around, and he's going to teach them about the one God. He's moving away from the world at the same time that he is reaching out to an entire world. Proof, as we said before, this lonely man who's all alone with his wife couldn't have done it without her. So, when I talk about Avram, I mean Avram and Sarah. Okay? Let's get that straight now. So, two contradictory movements. He's moving away and he's moving to. And in a sense, his moving away is that which is going to give him the courage, the strength, the dignity to be able to impact on a whole world. Yes?
Avraham was the first Jew, and the proof is very
was
Jew.
What?
The first Jew. The proof is it says, Vavarcha, Varechecha, and Rashi says, Vemamon. So he liked money, he must have
been wrong. Come on. Okay, that's all. You're gonna get an X for that. Okay. All right. We got to look good for the boys in New York. All right. And Avraham Avinu is the loner who's going to become a major force in the world. Two movements, two completely contradictory movements are going to take place throughout the life of Avraham Avinu. He's going to become Nisi Elokim, the Prince of God in the world. There's a Rashi and a Medrash later on that says that they appointed him for all intents and purposes king over the world at the time, the ancient world. They recognized his greatness. At the same time that he personally has moved away. He's distanced himself. He's going to have friends, he's going to have allies, but he's going to remain alone all the time. He's going to remain alone until he has Yitzhak, and Yitzhak is going to be alone until he has Yaakov, and Yaakov is going to be alone until he has the 12 sons who are going to become Klal Yisrael. And by the way, we're going to remain loners for 4,000 years. Nothing has changed. We're the loners. We're all alone in this world. Except that we have God on our side, but we are absolutely alone. There's no question about it. Nobody really wants us. Nobody really likes us. We'll talk about that yet. This is all the story of Avraham Avinu. All right, let's learn some more psukim. We have to learn the psukim over here. Okay, after the first by asked, God, I'm going to make you a great nation, I will bless you, I will make your name great. That certainly has been fulfilled. There isn't most probably a household in the world that doesn't know about Avraham. You're going to be a blessing to the world, and I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, or I will curse. Ochen vei to all of the nations that started up with the children of Avraham. They're not around anymore. And that's exactly what's going to happen to all of those who are sharpening their nuclear swords against us now. Vayelech Avraham. Well, those two words are so powerful. All of the families of the world are going to be blessed through you. Klal Yisrael has not contributed completely out of proportion to its numbers to the world. What a blessing we are for the people of this world. Nobody would have a cell phone without us. I wonder if it's not a blessing. I'm not so sure. All right. Vayelech Avraham. Vayelech Avraham. Two words. It's unbelievable. Vayelech Avraham. All of world history is changing with these two words. You know, we read these words, we do quickly.
No, no, no. Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem.
It's interesting over here, but why does it say kasher diber elav Hashem?
I mean, Vayelech Avram, obviously he is doing as God had told him.
Let's see, what does the English translation say? So Abram went as Hashem had spoken to him. The word kasher has another meaning. You know, the word kasher also means at precisely that time. There was no hesitation. Kasher doesn't mean only as God had told him, go, so he's going. No, no, no. It means much more than that. Just as God told him, in terms of time, there's no hesitation. He walks out of his father's house. Some of the Farshim say that he waited for his servants, and others he waited outside the city until they brought everything. He left immediately. God said, go. I can learn pshat. Avram can learn pshat. Wait a minute, the Rebbe wants me to get, I have to get a passport. I have to speak to my shliach aliyah. I have to pack up my thing, my svarim. You know what it means to move your svarim, you understand? The nightmare of anybody who has fun, okay? Have to pack everything up, take it easy, wait, cool your heels. No, 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 no. He leaves now. Vayelech kasher, right. As he had asked him. No hesitation whatsoever. Vayelech Avram kasher diyiber elav Hashem, vayelech ito lot. The Avram ben Chomesh Shonim, which was Shonim at Seisim Yechoron, he was 75 years old when he left Choron. Vayikach Avram as Sarai Ishtei, he took his wife Sarai, his Lot ben Ochid, Lot, the son of his brother, his nephew, that called him Shama Sherechoshu, and all of the wealth that they had amassed. There's HaNefesh HaSherosu B'Choron, the souls that they made in Choron. The souls that they made in Choron were those who had joined Avram's great movement for God, that by Yetzu when they left, lo lechet arzo Canaan, by Yavo arzo Canaan, and they went to go to the land of Canaan, by Yavo arzo Canaan. What does that mean? Why doesn't it say simply by Yetzu, by Yavo arzo Canaan? There's a repetition here. Look, to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to the land of Canaan. Because you know what? Not everybody who leaves or undertakes something necessarily makes it to the finish line. At the end of Parashat Noach, it says that Terach took his whole family with the intent to go to Canaan, and they came to Choron, and they stayed there. The journey was aborted in the middle. It didn't continue to the finish line. Same thing is true for the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov. Both of them left in order to make it to Eretz Yisrael, but they never made it to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, more prosaic, of course. I left my house with my wife last night to go to the Levaya of Rav Avad Yosef. I never made it. Here the Pasuk wants to point out, he completed the journey. By the way, not everybody completes the journey of their lives. Things that we want to do in life, you know, we can live 93 years old and still not do what we wanted to do in life. Avram goes, and he reaches the finish line.
Vayaver Avram ba'aretz, Avner kol Shechem, ad Elon Moreh, and Avram went through the land until the place of Shechem, Elon Moreh, v'aknani oz ba'aretz.
You know, how many times have we ever stopped to think about these three words, v'aknani oz ba'aretz? Rashi tells us, what does it mean, the Knani was then in the land? The Canaanite were in the process of conquering the land
from the sons of Shem. Noah had given Eretz Canaan to Shem. Do you know what it means? Avraham Avinu has come to a war zone. The Bereshit sends him to go to Eretz Canaan. He finally comes there. You know what he's walking into? There's an article in the Jerusalem Post this morning, making Aliyah in the middle of a war. It's some family from England. The fellow writes a story of their Aliyah. And they arrived in Eretz Israel on the 13th day of the Yom Kippur War. So first of all, the people in London said, "Oh, dear chap, you're out of your mind. You're going to Israel on Aliyah now? There's a war raging over there." And it's a fascinating article about coming in the middle of war. Well, in a sense, it wasn't as bad. My our family arrived during the first Lebanon War, but we never stopped to think that Avraham is coming. This is the great country that God told him to go to. He comes there, and there's a war raging, and that war is going to rage for a long time. And not only that, there's a war going on, and then the next thing we're going to learn a few pesukim later is there was a famine in the land. There's war in the land. There's famine in the land. Ay, ay, ay. This is what I had to come to. Take me back to Haran. No. Avraham is being tested every step of the way. And then he's going to end up down in Mitzrayim, and we know what's going to happen to him over there. When he comes up from Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says, V'haknani v'haprizi azbaretz. The war is intensifying, because not only are the Knani in the process of conquering the land from Shem, his family, but also the Prizi have joined with the Knani. And before you know it, you're going to have seven Canaanite nations over here. They're going to overrun the country. But you know what? It's also interesting to note that the guys who were the conquerors, what did they call them? The occupiers? The Knani were the occupiers. When Jews came 400 years later, you know what they're doing? They're taking the land back from the occupiers and destroy their settlements. Settlements always have to be destroyed. Knani and Prizi and Yavusi and Chivi settlements. So Avraham Avinu is being tested every step of the way. Not a word out of Avraham. Not a word out of Avraham. All right, let's see. Vayera Hashem al Avraham. And God appeared to Avraham. Vayomer, and he said, L'zarecha etein es ha'aretz hazos. To your children, I'm going to give this land. By even Shalizbech, and he built an altar, Hashem HaNira'ilam, to God who appeared to him. Here, I think it's Yor HaChaim HaKudosh, who asks an interesting question. Avraham is the first one to whom God has communicated in the first pasuk, even before he ever appeared to him. Wouldn't the order of things have been that God appeared to Avraham, and then, Vayomer Elav, Lech lecha mi artzcha mi olamitcha mi beit avicha. So one of the answers that the Arachayim wants to give, Rabbi, to this question we can add something else. In the parasha before, there's going to be a whole parasha about Noach. In the first pasuk we were introduced to Noach, and we are told, Eilat told us Noach, this is the story of Noach. Noach ish tzadik, a righteous man, Tomim Hoyobetorotav. We're told who he is. Avraham, we're given no introduction. We have no idea who the man is. No idea. Why doesn't the pasuk say Avraham was the great Mahzer v'tshuva of the world? Started a movement for God in Ur Kasdan. Stood up against Nimrod. So one thing, Rechaim doesn't ask this question, but I'm asking it, and
But I have a feeling, first of all, what's happening, what's really going to happen over here is the Rebbe Nishan wants you to follow Avram Avinu and get to know him by virtue of what he does. We don't have to give you any introductions. You just follow this man. You watch him. And pasuk by pasuk, if you understand the pasukim well, you are going to become overwhelmed with the greatness of this human being. We don't have to give you any introductions. Just watch him. Just follow him. Then here's a point that's made by the Arachayim. God doesn't have to appear to Avram. Because you know what? Avram had already discovered God. Avram had already created in his mind the truth that there is a God. God doesn't have to appear to him and say, tell him, Ani Hashem. And by the way, he doesn't even say that here. Vayed Hashem al Avram. God appeared to Avram and he said, L'zarach etein t'horza. He didn't have to introduce himself. He didn't have to say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha this, or Ani Hashem Elokecha that. Avraham knows him well without ever having met him. And then there's a third point. The point that I want to make is, God doesn't appear to man in Chutz Laretz. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha meyartzecha meladetcha beis avicha. That communication, that message, arrives to Avram as he is in Haran. No. So it's a, so to speak, a verbal message that's communicated. And what's amazing is Avram knows who it is that's communicating to him. He knows it all. His neshama tells him. His entire God consciousness tells him. And he goes immediately. He's in Eretz Yisrael. Now God can appear to him. God doesn't appear in Chutz Laretz. Unless, well, in a sense, God appeared to Moshe and Mitzrayim, but that was after he had already appeared to him at Sinai. And if he appears already at Sinai in the desert, the burning bush, that was part of Eretz Yisrael. The southernmost tip of Eretz Yisrael. Yes, what did you want to ask? You got to speak a little louder.
Do they think that, was it a dream, or was it he heard something new?
Yeah, it can be in a dream, yeah. By the way, later on in Torah and Devarim, God is going to say there are people that b'chalom adaberbo, I speak to him through a dream. But now there are people who can hear God speaking to them in a dream, and they have problems, you know. They need real help. And then there are people to whom God speaks to in a dream, and they know precisely who it is and what it is, and it's a divine message, and they move and they act immediately. Avram had discovered God, and therefore he knew when God is communicating with him. I got so much to say over here. Let's turn over for a moment. I got too much to say today. I think I got too much to say every day. Anyway, first of all, you have to take notice of something. Avram is going to go down to Mitzrayim. He's going to go down to Egypt. And before he goes down to Egypt, he tells his wife, listen, if they start asking questions at the border, what our relationship is, please tell them that I am your brother and I'm going to say you're my sister. He's afraid if they know that they're married, these Egyptians are going to take her and kill him. He comes down to Egypt
And yes, the knock on the door comes, and Sarah is taken to the house of Paro. God brings affliction down to the house of Paro, and lets Paro know, this is Avram's wife. Paro is overwhelmed, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean anything. And he sends Avram back with all sorts of wealth. There's one thing we don't notice about this. Avram, before he enters Mitzrayim, is concerned. I'm ready to say that he is even frightened. He comes to Mitzrayim, he's really there in his hotel, and he's waiting for the inevitable knock that's going to come on the door. To the door, the knock comes, and she is taken, and there's no resistance whatsoever from Avram. Now let's see the number six, second sentence. There's a world war going on. Four kings against five kings. The four kings are led by Amraphel, Melech Shinar, this is Nimrod, and then there are five so-called Israeli kings, Melech Sodom, Melech Amora, Melech Bela. This is a war that's going on for 26 years. It's all said in the Pesukim, it's clear. World war for 26 years. Now what happens in the course of that war, by Yitkhus Lot versus Kusho, they took Lot and all of his possessions, Ben Achi Avram, who's the son of the brother of Avram, by Yelech, when they went, Uyoshay Bestone. Lot was then in stone. Here's something also you may never notice. Why did it have to say that Lot is Ben Achi Avram? We know that. It's been told to us at the beginning of the Seder. You know why it's being said over here? When the four kings conquered Eretz Yisrael, they went after Lot and his Ruchush. And you know why they went after Lot? Because he's Avram's nephew. The first men the Medrash say, Amraphel. Well, Melech Shinar was Nimrod, and the great nemesis of Nimrod was Avram, and he went after that Jew Avram. And if you can't get Avram, the next best thing is take his nephew. He wants to draw Avram into battle. Vayavo Apolit, and the fugitive came, the one who had fled from the battlefield. Vayachil Avram Ivri, and he told Avram Ivri. And here's the first time that we hear Avram being called Avram Ho Ivri. This is the classic definition of Avram. The Medrash says, one of the meanings of Ho Ivri is that Kol Ha'olam Kulo, the whole world is on one side, and Avram is on the other side. True 4,000 years later. He lives near Elone Mamre with Bali Prisar from Ona Eshkol Mamre. They were his allies. Vayishma Avram Kinishbach, and Avram heard that his brother, his Mishpucha, had been captured. Vayorek Eschanichov, and he armed his people, Yelidei Beito, those who were born in his house, Shmona also was Shlosh Meos, Vayir of Adon, 318, and he pursued them until dawn. Vayicholak Amaleim Laila, Huvavodo, and they divided against them at night, and they destroyed them. Ad Chovash, and he smolded the Amesek, and he brings back all the Rechush, he brings everything back. Gerbis Lotach, and the Rechush HaYishim, all the women, everything. And King of Sodom goes out toward him. And after Avram had struck Kedorlaomer and the kings were with him, Malki Tzedek, this is the one I'm interested in. Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem. Targum Onkel says, the king of Yerushalayim. There's even a medrash that says that Malki Tzedek is Shem, the son of Noach. Malki Tzedek Merel Shalom Hotzi Lecha V'Yayin brought out bread and wine to him, who Kohen Le'el Elyon. He is a Kohen to the Almighty, the God Most High. V'Yivarchei, when he blessed him, V'Yomer. Baruch Avram L'Keel Elyon, God, blessed is Avram, the Kohen Shemayim words. Baruch Keel Elyon Hashemikin Tzedecho V'Yadeho V'Yitin L'Masu Mikol. And blessed is God the Most High, who has delivered your foes into your hand. And he gave him a tenth of everything. Two things that are extremely important that we have noticed here, and I will only be able to talk about them very briefly. Avram, with 318 men, the midnight ride of Avram Avinu, he destroys the four superpowers of the day. Now, just compare or contrast that with only a few psukim earlier. Avram comes to Mitzrayim and he's absolutely helpless. They come and they take Sarai and he doesn't lift a finger. What's going on over here? Who's the real Avram? The frightened one of Mitzrayim, or the one who now goes out and crushes the four superpowers of the day, brings them to their knees? What kind of a fellow is this guy up there? What's wrong with him? What's not wrong with him? What's good about him? The answer is simple. Avram in Mitzrayim, the Jew in Golos, is weak. He may feel, you know, he has a top job in government, he's hanging his head, but in the end, he is helpless. The Jew in Eretz Yisrael has strength, might, and power. The same Avram. Avram 1 and Avram 2. Avram 1 is the Avram in Egypt. He's a pitiful excuse for a man. He can't protect his own wife and waits for the inevitable to happen. Avram in Eretz Yisrael, powerhouse, does what the rest of the world couldn't have done. Second, Melchizedek is the leader of the, maybe the spiritual leader of the world, the Prince of Peace. For 26 years, his children are being battered by the four kings. What has he done in all of those 26 years? It is possible that he negotiated. He made a deal. He sent Reis, Kerry, and Hillary, and all the rest to making deals. For 26 years, Melchizedek doesn't do anything of any significance that could have dealt with a world war. In one night, Avram goes out, destroys the evil, the axis of evil in the world. I can't help it, you know. There are two different ways to deal with things, understand? You know, there are those who want to negotiate with killers, and then there are those who want to destroy the evil of the world. It's the same story all over again, here and now. The same story. And the end is going to be precisely the same. Years ago, Melchizedek, the king of priests of peace, reminded me of somebody else. Pope Pius XII didn't lift a finger during the Second World War to save Jews. The Germans, when they took the Jews of Rome off to concentration camps to be killed, their trucks drove by the Vatican.
Let Pope Pius XII know what we're doing. Not a word, not a whimper, not a whisper. Did nothing. Did nothing. There was this, a long time ago, there was this great play, The Deputy, by Rolf Hochhuth. And there's some young priest who's pleading with the Pope, you know, the Germans are killing the Jews of Europe. But they can't let him into the Pope. No, no, he can't see this young priest because the Pope is very busy right now. He's thinking about the ascension of Mary. People, blood is being spilled throughout the world, but he's concerned about thinking that Mary went heavenward just like her son. Okay? All right. What else inspired me this week, except for the beyond the Vayelech Avram, beyond the Lech Lecha? So I have to say, I was deeply, deeply moved by, we forgot it already, Netanyahu's speech to the UN.
Oh, yeah.
I just have over there the very first paragraph, Prime Minister Netanyahu speech to the UN. I have the beginning and the end of the speech. It's very important. Thank you, Mr. President. I feel deeply honored and privileged to stand here before you today representing the citizens of the State of Israel. We are an ancient people. We date back nearly 4,000 years to Abraham. That's us. That's us. We all started from Lech Lecha, Le'artzecha, Mimolatecha, Mibeit Avicha. We date back nearly 4,000 years to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have journeyed through time. We've overcome the greatest of adversities, and we reestablished our sovereign state in our ancestral land, the land of Israel. Now the Jewish people's odyssey through time has taught us two things. Never give up hope, always remain vigilant. Hope charts the future, vigilance protects it. You know, this is Churchillian kind of stuff, you know.
What does vigilance?
Liot air.
Ah, liot air.
Air. Mukhan. Now, the next is going to be the end of the speech. And Netanyahu says something that I've been saying already for 25, 30 years. In our time, the biblical prophecies are being realized. As the prophet Amos said, they shall rebuild ruined cities and inhabit them, they shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, they shall till gardens and eat their fruit, and I will plant them upon their soil, never to be uprooted again. And then he repeated the psukim. He repeated psukim in Hebrew. Let them choke on his Hebrew in the United Nations. And there we have the psukim. It's the end of Sefer Amos. It's from the Haftorah of Parashat Kedoshim. Hinei amim ba'im num Hashem, v'nigash choresh ba'kotzer v'dorei chanavim v'moshei chazara, v'hitifu he'horim asis v'chol ha'kvo'ol titmo gadna. Behold, days are coming, the word of Hashem, when the plowman will meet the reaper. There'll be so much to take out of the ground that they're just finishing the harvest, they're already getting ready for the to plow again. And the treader of grapes will meet the one who carries the seed. The mountains will drip juice, and all the hills will melt. The shafti eshut ami Israel, and I will return the captivity of my people Israel. Uvanu adam nishanos, they are going to build up cities that were desolate, v'yoshavu, and they will dwell in them, v'notu kramim, and they're going to plant vineyards, v'shatu et yenom. By the way, we're a major world power in wines, you know. Israeli wines that are no more than 20, 30 years old are picking up are picking up prizes all over the world. We're telling French that has 1,000 years worth of vineyards over there, they just move over, you know. The dibs are here. We've come. All right? And then what's going on? And he goes on to say, this is the last pasuk. Oh, what a pasuk. When they taught him alad matam, I will plant them on the land, they will no longer be uprooted. May alad matam from the land, Hashem taught him, Amar Hashem Elokecha. And then the last sentence. My wife and I have been learning the last sentence by heart. We walk around the house saying it. Ladies and gentlemen, the people of Israel have come home. Never. He said the never with great emphasis. Never to be uprooted again. Wow. All right. That's it. To be continued.